amongst your people, prophecy fulfilling everywhere. You are standing up your children all over the world. Lord, while men sleep, God is walking. In the name of the Lord Jesus, just as you said you will do in the last days. Thank you for this meeting here tonight, Lord, the joy of the Lord, the wonderful testimony. Testimonies of deliverances. Yes, we serve a God that answered prayer. Yes. Blessed be the name, O Lord. And if he says so today, and if he says so even to the last day, Lord, when he comes for the church. Lord, thank you for blessing us with all the testimonies. Now, I want to read your word tonight, Lord. Let there be a blessing come as we read. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. So, tonight, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to talk about by the grace of God, the need for the ministry of the supernatural. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The gospel itself is the gospel of the supernatural. Thank God for what you are saying. Praise God. You see, the great physician, amen?
Amen.
You see, is the gospel has not changed. Go, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, even raise the dead, amen?
Amen.
He hasn't changed his mind about that commission. Praise God. It's only God's children align ourselves to it and listen to him, amen? Praise God. And then look in the Bible, even when we speak from the Old Testament prophet, right? One of the greatest prophets of all time, the Old Testament. You all know him, Elijah the prophet. Praise God. So the ministry, the need for the ministry of the supernatural. I'm taking from the 4th Kings chapter 18. I don't know if I quickly read the first few verses in there. Maybe I have time, I don't know. Now let's read it. So those who are not familiar with that chapter can quickly catch up with us, you know. The intention here is to just get everyone familiar with the word, amen. We are all at different levels. That's okay, you know. So let's just read the first few verses of 1 Kings 18. I won't read the whole chapter, but just to give us a bearing tonight, you know, the ministry, the need for the ministry of the supernatural. 1 Kings 18:1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. The Lord said, you know. You know, prior to that, this man was a man of the wilderness, amen. He was veiled from the world, amen. He was hiding with God in the wilderness while Israel backslided. Praise God. He was mourning for the backsliding of Israel. Praise God. He just said, just with God alone, and that, you know, the elect of the last day, they are veiled away from the world, from the church world. Praise God. And yet they love the Lord. So until one day, in 17th chapter, all we hear is Elijah the Tishbite, amen. Out of the wilderness he came. Praise God. He does say the Lord. It shall be neither dew nor rain for 3.5 years according to my word. He was so acquainted with God, just like Brother will say, according to my gospel, amen.
Amen.
That's right. We are members of his body, amen. He is the head and we are his body, and you are a member in particular, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. You get so acquainted with God, you say, according to my gospel, say, according to my word, amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how close he was to God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it was so, you know what happened to him, but nevertheless, so there came a time now, the Lord said, okay, now, and it came as the Lord told him, there was no rain for 42 months, and now, at this time now, the Lord said, okay, now, I'm going to show yourself to Ahab, and I'm going to bring the rain back again. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. And and now Bible says, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them 50 by in a cave and fed them with the bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts, you know. So they divided the land between themselves to pass through. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. and he knew him, and fell on his face, and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah is here, you know. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay him? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they find thee not. And now thou seest, Go, tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, look at that statement, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee, whether I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But the servant feared the Lord for my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in the cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, Behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me, he said. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Praise the Lord. Well, we won't dwell so much on that, you know. He was in all of his doing, he was singular, amen. Obviously, many times, even not to the people, he has appeared, and disappeared. Transportation, supernaturally, and some of that, you know. So we know that. But that's what the subject tonight, and so on. Anyway, so let's go through this story very quickly. The ministry of the supernatural. So, as we have read, the date determined for the drought had come to an end now. The Lord sent Elijah back to Ahab. Go tell him, that I bring back rain again, as we read. Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So now, as we have read, these had been terrible years, for the land of Israel, those 3.5 years. The famine reached proportions of national calamity. You can see the king himself looking for water. Can you imagine the king of Israel? Praise God. That's how terrible it was, when Ahab realized that the drought had come, in accordance with the word of Elijah, because according to my word, right, he took a course of action, keeping with his character. Instead of him repenting, right, he sent out, manhood to go and look for Elijah so I can kill him and so on, Instead of repenting and say, Lord, have mercy on us, right? This man has prophesied, instead of you to be humble and repent. No, he didn't do that, What did he do? He sent people looking for Elijah, and things like that, So instead of calling for the people to repent, he sent in motion, national manhunt, an effort to locate the prophet. After searching all parts of his kingdom, as we have read, for Elijah, and failing to find him, he sent messengers into the neighboring countries, to see if they could locate Elijah. And he helped him to entertain, a superstitious belief. He was thinking, if I just find Elijah, can just cajole him, so he can just cut off the famine and some of that, and the drought and so on. Not so Ahab. See, this is just said, he couldn't find him anyway. So we know that story here. So meanwhile, while the search for Elijah was going on, Jezebel, that infamous wife of his, now what was he doing? Was not idle at all. What did he do? She was convinced that Jehovah had something to do with the drought. She was convinced. And an answer was to initiate a fierce persecution against the followers of Jehovah. And she did. So a henchman began a systematic rounding up of all who confessed faith in the God of Israel. That was happened. She was one of the most evil women that ever lived in the whole world and so on, So those who would not bow to Baal, of course, were summarily beheaded in the days of Jezebel. Ahab, we all know he was a very weak king, right? Was weak. And, he permitted Jezebel, to you know, to give him authority to do all those atrocities, killing the prophets of God, just as that happened in the land of Israel, right? So those 3.5 years were terrible days in the history of the nation of Israel. It's prophesying of yet another terrible 3.5 years to come in the near future. Praise God.
Amen.
It is so terrible. The Lord said that when it happens in the future, a time of trouble, the Lord said, that has never been since the world began. So what happened in this of Ahab, it will be a child's play in the great tribulation of time. Praise God. This world is up to something, and Israel is not, I'm going to have its own part of punishment. Praise God. And but God will save her in the end. Bless the God. So now that's coming the day, I mean, what the Bible calls the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. See? So it's coming upon the face of the earth. The Gentiles also rejected Christ. They're going to have their own portion, the great tribulation. So, only one time did this Ahab, you know, stay his hand from what Jezebel can do. What was it? He had a faithful servant or governor called Obadiah. Of course, he was a believer in Jehovah. Why will Jezebel spare Obadiah? Because Ahab thought that he was so dear to Ahab, he was so useful, and so he let his wife spare the life of Obadiah. Even though Ahab knew that this man has, I don't know whether he knew that he has hit 100 prophets that he was taking care of them, but he just looked the other way, you know. He couldn't do without Obadiah, praise God, you know. So that's why, you know, so that happened right there, you know. So now let's continue the story very quickly. So now, as he was going through looking for oasis and water and so on, he had this way, he himself this way, then he ran to Elijah. So when Elijah met Obadiah, the latter was wandering through the wilderness, like we read before, in search of grass for the starving cattle and horses. Elijah said unto him, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. So then came the answer from Obadiah about the strange thing about Elijah and so on. I've read it to you before. Oh, how can I go and tell him? I know how, you know, the kind of your life. If I go now, before I come back, God could have taken you from here to somewhere else, right? And then have with me anyway. But Elijah assured him that today, assuredly, thus said the Lord, I will show myself to Ahab. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then he went, you know, so they begin our story. So, so upon reassuring Obadiah that he will present himself to Ahab, Obadiah went his way to communicate the news to the king. Upon receiving these tidings, Ahab had no time, he lost no time whatsoever to meet Elijah. And here's the story. And he came near. Ahab said to the prophet, accusing the prophet, you know, had thou he that troubled Israel? And you know, Elijah had an answer for him already, you know. He didn't even miss words, amen. Oh, praise God. He didn't miss any word. He was a king, yes, but I have the king of kings, amen. I have Jehovah God, right? You are the king of Israel. I have the king of kings and the Lord of lords, unto whom every knee shall bow. Praise God. So, you know, he was a man who lived in the presence of God, right? And was accustomed to the moving of the supernatural and had no intention of being, you know, browbeaten by any kind of a king, amen? Praise the Lord. He lives in the presence of God, you know? That's how it should be with the children of God in these last days. Ahab will soon learn his lesson or his mistake. Elijah's answer was, I have no trouble, Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and followed Baalism, you know. Of course, without any doubt, the king had contemplated taking some stern action against the prophet. But Elijah dominated the conversation, amen. Praise the Lord. He just took over the conversation and just dominated the conversation and so on, you know. He had been anointed of the Lord and so on. So he told Ahab what to do. He started commanding Ahab what to do, amen. Oh, it is good to be in the power of God, amen. Praise God. There is nothing sweeter in the old world what to be anointed, amen. You know, of the spirit of the Lord and so on, you know. So he told Ahab what to do. And the king was started, right? Found himself following the instructions of the prophet, right? And what was the strange plan that this man of God had for Ahab? It was so simple. So daring and bold in its nature was the plan of Elijah that the king, in amazement, felt obliged, you know, to agree to it. He couldn't do anything about it, you know. And what was it? Elijah said unto Ahab, go gather all Israel to the top of Mount Carmel. Send also for the 450 prophets, as well as the prophets of the groups, which are supported at Jezebel's table. He's talking with all boldness. Yeah? Praise God. The anointing of the Lord. Nothing like it. Praise God. And, you know, men of God, they can be very dangerous. Amen. Praise God. Paul was, one time in the ministry of Barak, Paul, one man was trying to stop someone from receiving Christ. That had been blind for a season. It was so. Amen. Praise God. When you are anointed, it's dangerous. I mean, you know, so God's many people are dangerous and so on like that to the devil and his cohort. Bless God. So anyway, there was one, where people of Samaria received Christ, and there was one in India, you know, who has been tormenting the people and so on, lying to them and so on like that, you know, and. When he saw that he received the Holy Ghost, Peter, oh please, you know, he gave me money and so on. That himself can see, but I thought just rebuke him, praise God, you know. I think he repented and said, please, don't let this thing come upon me, praise God. Anyway, I'm saying that when you're anointed, that's how we should be, amen. Satan, run, etta, scatter. Whether you are a king and you are a hidden one, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, God is God, praise God. Anyway, here was Elijah. A lone individual now, a man who had incurred the hostility of the king's court, whom everybody held responsible for the coming of the drought, and who had a price upon his head. He had a price upon his head, you know, and yet he intended to face this hostile audience and present his case, the anointing of the Lord, the ministry of the supernatural, right? You know, see how he thought to Ahab. I mean, you know, he couldn't do anything. Just had to oblige. Well and good. The plan was agreeable to Ahab, you know. If Elijah came out of the contest alive, then the king would miss his guest. What argument could Elijah possibly muster that would assuage the wrath of the populace who had suffered long months of the famine. Thinking about the scenario, you know, what is he going to tell the people, you know? I mean, 3.5 years of drought. Nevertheless, what could the prophet say that would give him respite from those who were thirsting for his blood, that be waiting for him for 3.5 years, right? What is he going to say, you know? See? Now, the prophet of Baal, they were confident, you know, in their number, 450 of them, right? And the founder of the groups, right? They were confident, you know, in their number. They were present at the appointed hour and eager to get their hands on Elijah. You see? They knew just what to do. Before the sun went down, they were hoping they would bring out his head, right? Not so. This is a man of God, right? He was half from God, you know? So anyway, they were mistaken, you know? And so before I go forward really quickly, I will digress. That's number 450. You know, the Bible doesn't just give number for nothing, right? Everything in this Bible means something. Praise the Lord. Amen. What is that 450 means what? In Bible symbology and the numeric cards and so forth, the digression here, it means what? It means judgment. That's what it means. And let me give you quickly, as a digression, you know, how that number represents judgment in the Bible. I can't give all of them. That will be a whole subject by itself and so on, but I will just give you a few of them. So, first of all, that 450 is 50 times 9. And we know 9 is the basic number for judgment, right? Mm-hmm. And 450 is 50 times 9. That is like judgment intensified 50 times, right? So we know that, you know. And moreover, 450 prophetic years. 450 prophetic years equals 444 solar years. Prophetic year is a year made of 12 months of 30 days each. Praise God. That's prophetic measuring of time. God has all kind of measurements for time. So, and the 450, so it's actually 444 solar year. A solar year is your 365, which is 24-hour days, right? That's just man's measurement and so on. So if you take that 450 years, no prophetic years, it's 444 solar years. How do you do that? 450 times 360, right? That will be number of days, will be 162,000 days. Take 160,000 divided by 365, you get 444. Is that right? So now, what is 4? 4 is the number of the world, you know. And 444 is like 4 intensified. And why is 4 called the number of the world? There are so many reasons. And I can show you a few of them here like quickly, that's all. All I'm saying that 450, that number of the bear prophets, it's like, you know, it's judgment. So the number 4 is the world number, or the number of material completeness. For example, there are 4 cardinal directions: north, south, east, and west, right? We know that. And there are 4 seasons of the year. You have winter, you have summer, you have the fall, and you have... So there are 4 of them, right? Spring. Praise God. Now, there are 4 cherubims, or living creatures, who think of the creation. That's in Revelation 4. I can't go there because there's no time, you know. And in the Garden of Eden, that river, it parted into what? 4 parts. Praise God. See? 4, the number of creation, material creation, and so on. Completeness, as well as, you know. So that's what 4 is. Now, the 4 Gospels, also, even the Gospels, there are 4 Gospels, right? You know, and they represent the different ministry of the Lord Jesus. You know, Matthew, for example, make him as a king. Mark portrayed the Lord as the servant. And we know that the book of Luke portrayed the Lord as the Son of Man, you know, and of course, John as the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Just a little digression here tonight, you know, about Bible numbers and so that is a whole subject by itself. So, but back to 450 now. The number of judgments, really, you know. Now, there are many associations of the number 450 with judgments, few of which are this, you know. And in fact, there are 11 450 cycles of world judgment. One day we can go in there and show right to the end of the age, right from the Garden of Eden, we can number 11 450-year cycles and something like that, you know. Anyway, but let's see a few of them. Now, the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah came exactly 450 years after the flood. Genesis chapter 19. I can't go there. So, exactly 450 years after the flood came the judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, judgment of the Canaanites in the book of Joshua came 450 years after Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. That's a memorized distance. We're just showing that the 450 prophets means something. Why not 500 prophets, you know? Divine destiny and providence, you know, said those things in other and some of that, you know. So we see now the Amalekite judgment in 1 Samuel 15 came yet another 450 years later after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Cycles of judgment, what judgment and some of that, you know. So there are many of them like that. There is much more we could say on the significance of the number 450. But I call attention to one more, very significant. The judgment that fell on the Roman Empire. Let me end with that. Now, Rome put to death our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That is in about AD 30. 4 years before, in AD 26, they killed John the Baptist, right? That's right. So we know that one. He was killed in AD 26, 4 years before the Lord went to the cross and all that, you know, respectively. So now, and 450 years to this 26 AD, when they killed John the Baptist and so on, came to year 476. That is where Rome fell. Praise God. Rome fell in 476 AD. Praise the Lord. Exactly 450 years since the time John the Baptist was murdered and the time of Christ. See, we're just showing. And one day we can go into these different circles, up to 11 of them, to the end of the world. You know, that the God judged. So, just by the way, now, let's go to the meaning of the supernatural, right? Just to show you that those 450 prophets, they mean something in the Bible. So, thus we see that 450 bear prophets were men marked for divine judgment. Amen? That's where I'm going to all the night. Ignorant of the metu of the man they are standing before them, meaning Elijah the prophet, and so on, the bear prophets were eager to close the chapter on Elijah, you know, but they gave him a moment to state his case, right? They think they got him now, right? You can't get a man of God, you know, a man that lives with God, that lives by God, and by the word of God, can't get him, you know. So anyway, praise God. So Jezebel, Even I mean, now they are on Mount Carmel, right? The 400 prophets of the group, the 450 prophets of the bear, and Ahab himself was there on Mount Carmel. What about Jezebel? She didn't even care to go to Mount Carmel. She knows that we get him now. And we got him now. I got my prophet that they will take care of him, right? That's what he thought. Praise the Lord. You know, he didn't care to go to Mount Carmel, right? You know, I got my henchmen there. There are 450 there. And they will take care of Elijah. Not so. You know, it didn't happen that way and so on, you know. So with the people assembled together, Elijah presented his case. I wish you all know the plan for determining whether Jehovah or Baal was God. That was the thing. And as Elijah talked, we can imagine it. His audience became very quiet. You know, this man was talking with all boldness. Amen. Person who knew what he was doing. Oh, it's good to know what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And you have heard from God too. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So they were all quiet, and Elijah spoke as one who had authority. You know, the Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 7:29, Bible says, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Amen. Mm-hmm. Elijah was so bold. He's been with the Lord, right? He was a desert wilderness man and some of that. You know, so he was so bold, you know. He spoke as one having authority and it was all quiet. Even when you draw a pen, you will hear the sound there for that day. Praise God. As Elijah began to demonstrate and began to tell them what will happen. Whether Jehovah is God or Baal, today we will know. Oh, Israel, you know. Anyway, Elijah spoke, like I said. So instinctively now, the people felt a respect and admiration for this bold prophet, you know. He was one lone man challenging the whole army of Baal prophets. Just one man. That's what it takes. It takes one Moses, amen. Praise
amen.
God. 40 years before he ran away, you know, he was trying to do people say one so. And it takes just one Moses to defeat the army, to go and fight the army of Pharaoh. Can you imagine that? The greatest empire in the world at that time. Just one man. That's what God needs. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
May you be there when he needs you, amen.
Amen.
May I be there when he needs me. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus, you know.
Amen.
So you see, no, it's the Almighty God. Here was one, he was the only one. He must be a man of great courage, I think. The people listened carefully to every word that he spoke. I say this one, God has his time, you know. And because he permits evil to go unchallenged for a season does not mean that he has forgotten or that he will not deal with it fully in due time, you know. That's the way God was answering that, you know. He always says a saying, give the devil a long rope, he will hang himself, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus, you know?
Hallelujah.
The hour had come now, when Israel was to know who was God. God had waited for long, he was patient, amen?
Amen.
Like this war, patient for 6,000 years, it won't be like this forever, amen?
Amen.
Like the ark door, the door of grace is closing really quickly, amen? Thank God for evangelism, amen? Let's get in, as many as God will lead us to bring in. Men, turn the man as by fire, amen,
mm-hmm.
as the age closes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So whatever, however he sent you, just be faithful, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be idle now. My brother's favorite scripture. Don't be that sleeping others, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Anyway, so let's quickly finish up this one. They had to know who is God, whether it's Baal. And as Elijah spoke, he made his famous challenge again. How long has he between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if they are, then follow him.
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings 18:21. Praise God. Did this change how that the grip of the Baal prophets, even then, was weakening? Can you see that? Are they weakening? Can you see that? What's going through their minds? And so on, you know? Did these words show that many were having doubts about Baal? Maybe we see. And it is possible that a growing number who fail to express themselves for fear of their safety now secretly now believe in Elijah and his God. It begins to happen. Just imagine walking through people's minds as this bold man of God begins to declare things in the name of the Lord, you know. So nevertheless, the scripture continues and it says, and the people answer not a word. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
They were all quiet, you know. And so as they begin to speak and so on, you know. So the people wanted to see deeds now. Rather than hear arguments, amen, they want action. Do they want the same thing today? I believe, I trust so.
Mm.
Not just argument. They want to hear this and so on. They The Lord said, you know, those who believe me for the very work sake. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Believe me for the work sake. You know, don't believe me, and so on. You know who I am, that I'm the Almighty God. Believe me for the very work sake, and so on. You know, anyway, so, and so, what we see did, and not argument. The situation at Carmel, in a way, is being repeated today, people. I mean, the religious world. Praise God.
Amen.
A challenge to you, a challenge to me. Praise God. We are more than able. Praise God.
Amen.
He has called us. He has chosen us. Amen.
Amen.
And we fulfill all these plans. Amen.
Amen.
In the bride elect. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see. So the world is confused today by thousands of voices. I would say there are many, many voices, and there's none without signification. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Bible says that. So and now. So and the religion of the non-supernatural, which answer to the religion of there, has its prophets that would divert worship from the true God. That's right. There are many, many Baal worshippers today. They may be called different names, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They are all there. You feed them every day, have them every day. I know they are there, you know. So that's why the call, God who must stand up as we finish up here this morning, this evening and so on. So people are not sure in this last day that they want to serve or accept the God if he has no miraculous power. Just so simple, you know. That simple, you know. And there is only one thing that will convince them. The ministry of the supernatural. That's my subject, amen.
Amen.
The ministry of the supernatural. That's what we take to finish the harvest, amen. That's how the gospel began, amen. I have to end that way.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. That's only one gospel. This gospel of the kingdom. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. What is the gospel? And Jesus went about all Galilee and preaching the gospel of the kingdom.
Yes.
And they brought multitudes unto him and they were healed, right?
Yes.
Matthew 4, chapter 9. Praise God.
Amen.
Was repeated. He went to all Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was it? All the sick were brought to him and healed them. You know,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we see. And they will believe in the God of power. Won't forget one of the great men of God who lived in our time. I think he went to the Muslim country. I believe it is India or something like that, you know. So, how can I convince this great, I don't know, I mean, 30,000 Muslims that Jesus is God? What am I going to do? Well, you know what? And he said that, I think God revealed to him. See, you don't just jump up. You see, Elijah has been with God. And I come to that now. We don't just jump up and be doing things, amen. He has been with God. He said, according to the, you see his prayer now, he heard from God. That mistake we are making this last. Don't just jump up right now. So that brother said that he saw a vision when he was in India, 30,000 Muslims right now. And he said that, okay, what am I going to do now? Like Elijah of old. Okay, there was a blind man, you know. So now, God has shown him in a vision that blind man will see. Then he threw out a challenge. Okay, you Muslims. So if this Jesus that I preach, if you open this man's eyes, will you believe him? Right in our own time. Praise God. And truly enough, you know, I said, yeah, they all say yes. And the man of God prayed, and the blind saw.
Amen.
And they all cried. I don't know, thousands received Christ. And even just get up there, he saw a vision first.
Amen.
Like Elijah was in the United States, God told him what to do. And that's where we have to really mark these things. This gift of God, you can't just turn them on and off.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is it's in us. It's according to divine providence. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So when we know this secret, then we just lay at the bosom of God until you say go. Then you go. Praise God.
Mm.
You don't say me. Can't heal. You can't heal the whole world. You're sitting today, right? So praise God. Anyway, let me just do that one right there. Have they not the people of the world? Do they have the right to accept such a power, such God to do miracles and so on? So even our Lord said that these signs shall follow that believe. Again, the gospel hasn't changed, right? Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It hasn't changed at all. It's the same one gospel. A miracle speaks a universal language. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A miracle speaks a universal language that gives instant attention to the man of God who possess that ministry. He does. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The miraculous was needed in Elijah's day. It is no less needed in our day. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As we are witnessing for the Lord, let us have this in our heart. God will do it. Amen.
Amen.
You must have this in your heart. That only one gospel, brethren. Amen. And then we just lay at his feet and so on and move only when you move. Don't move until we hear the moving, on the top of the mulberry trees. Amen.
Ooh.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't do a thing. Until that time, just wait. Just lay down there, amen. Lay down there, amen. Don't be in a hurry now. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel 5:24, right? Praise God. So the same thing, he told David, don't do anything until you hear that moving on top of the mulberry tree. Then move. The Lord has taken the battle for you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So you see, so Elijah has taken the initiative and he kept it through that historic day on Mount Carmel. He laid down the rules of the contest, amen.
Mm.
When you are anointed, you know, it's just so sweet, brethren. Praise God.
Mm.
Oh, the liberty, the joy, and so on, And anyway, so the prophet of Baal was to slay a bullock, as he told them, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire at all. I'm just summarizing the rest of the chapter right now, underneath it. Elijah would do the same thing. The prophets of Baal were there to call upon the name of their God. The Bible put G-O-D-S, he put that to them. They have many gods. The Baal is one of them, right? Anyway, Elijah likewise will call upon the Lord, one God. The God that answered by fire, the prophet said, will be God, right?
Amen.
And that was the challenge,
Mm.
And it was fear enough. Too fear for the devotees of Baal. That's right. And they had no stomach for an actual test of the power of their God. That had never worked a miracle before, as far as we know. Praise
mm-hmm.
God. They have a stomach for that. And they had intended to seize Elijah and kill him. That was their intention.
Mm-hmm.
See? But what happened to them? Too late now. They realized that they had walked into a trap where they can never get out. Like I said, give the devil a rope, he hang himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Walk into a trap, they couldn't come out of it and so on. The people took seriously the challenge of Elijah now, I'm going to see fire here. Praise God. Let's see the God who can send the fire. Praise God. They were now excited, And the prophet of Baal, they're not like chicken hearted. And now, they don't do it. Anyway, so praise God. That's what we see with the Holy Ghost, amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful life indeed. And so on, So they went into a trap. The people took seriously the life challenge. And Jezebel priest now saw, to their own dismay, that their sympathy was turning towards Elijah. People are now turning away from them to Elijah. 450 of them, right? And just one single man. Because you had God with him, amen?
Yes. Amen.
One with God is the majority, right?
Yes.
Even people saying the word, right? Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I want to let you quickly rush to finish this one. So the Baal prophets now look desperately for a way of escape. But they saw no escape now. They perceived to their utter consternation that the people expected them to accept the challenge. And there was no way to act. They can't say no. See, too late now. Even Ahab himself grudgingly admitted that Elijah's challenge was fair. He did. That's right. He did. So anyway, to him, as far as he's concerned, if the Baal prophet failed, let them take the consequences. I think Ahab will think. And if the prophet failed, he will have to take the consequences. For the king, the king will choose the winning path, right? If the prophet Baal win, then I will be there. If Elijah won with him, so I have nothing to lose, right? Let the contest go on. Praise God. Amen. It was a dramatic moment in the history of Israel. The fate of the nation hung, as it were, in the balance. Will Baal or Jehovah triumph? See? They have been idolatry and so on. They forgot all the miracles of the past. They forgot the God who opened the Red Sea for them, human nation, right? They forgot the conquest, how they got the land from Jericho, the very first city they won. How God, in the time of Joshua, they forgot all those things. They forgot the manna, that they ate and some that, for 40 years. And the clothes that they did not wear, their food did not even swear. They forgot all those things, and all those things that you are talking about. What did you get from Baal, O children of Israel? You see what I'm saying? So anyway, so like religious war today and something like that, Anyway, so let's quickly finish here so we can go into the prayer session. So now, since the Baal prophets now were many, they were to prepare their own bond of force, and to call upon their gods. and for the fire to consume the sacrifice. The false prophets now realize that Elijah, if Elijah could back up his words, then their own lives were in jeopardy. They know that right there, you know. And so failure on their part now will prove to the people that what Elijah was saying was true. that they were false prophets, right? They will be exposed. Satan hates to be exposed, right?
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost will always expose him. Praise God. See, that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So there was no other alternative for them at all. Panic stricken now, they began to call upon Baal. See? Empty calling. All day, they lifted their voices in frenzy, you know. I mean, they become heretical and so on that, you know. The desperation, I mean, they leap upon the altar. I can imagine them. Why Elijah goaded them, saying, well, cry aloud, for he is a God, right? Either he's on the journey or talking to somebody, for sure. or he's on the journey or peradventure, you know, he's sleeping. I must be awakened now because the time of reality is here. Praise God. Oh, our God is wonderful. You see, we should sit and say that the Lord is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue to serve him with joy. Stung by the mocking of Elijah, they made frenzied cries and cut themselves with the knife and the lances, you know, until the blood gushed out. But with all their hysterical dramatics, there was no answer whatsoever. So the day, because it declined, the day was going down now, the sun was going down and so on, and the hour of the evening sacrifice drew near. By this time, the people were convinced that the Baal had no power whatsoever, you know, to help his devotees at all, you know. What now? By the God of Elijah, will he do it? We can't. We got it being fired from heaven. Well, let's see. So now the spotlight now turned to Elijah. Amen. Praise God. They have turned away from the power and it's now to Elijah and so on, you know. So he has prepared his own bullock now and was ready to do what he needs to do. Will his God answer by fire? Where the bear prophet says, absolutely. Amen. Praise God. The true God. So Elijah already had gone into action anyway before they even think about it. And so, why the Baal prophets called in vain on their God, he rebuilt the altar, meaning Elijah, of the Lord, which had been broken down. Now the Bible says, I'm just paraphrasing that now. That statement tells us in Acts 15, no matter how, Acts 15, in the Council of Jerusalem, right? I have to read that one quickly, you know. The Bible says, he built the altar which had fallen down. And, you know, in Acts 15, you know, where some Jews were trying to force the Gentile believers to do as the Jews did, right? So they brought the issue from Antioch to Jerusalem, right? To the elders and so on. That. Anyway, let me read that prophecy in Amos. It is quoted in Acts 15:16. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is falling down. See that? And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who dwelt this thing. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. I just bring that one in because Bible says that Elijah built the altar which had been broken down, right? It's just interesting to bring a parallel scripture, not really related to this thing, but the truth is this. Now, here I'm going. A rebuilding of the altar must always precede revival. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's where I'm going. A rebuilding of the altar must always precede revival. Elijah took what? 12 stones. You know, they are all symbolic, right? They are symbolic thing he was using because God was guiding him. 12 stones. One for each of the tribes of Israel and set them in their places. Next, he put the wood in order and laid the bullock on it. Next, he told the people, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it upon the sacrifice. I said, do it 3 times, making 12, right? Each barrel for each tribe of Israel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everything was symbolic to him and so on, you know, because God has shown him all these things. So, you know, so 1 barrel for each tribe of Israel. Then came the prayer of Elijah, that wonderful prayer. And here is a great secret here. Like I said, he didn't just jump up and be doing anything. Hear what he prayed. That is in verse 37 of 1 Kings 18. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let it be known this day that thou as God in Israel are not there, right? I put that one there. And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. He had thus said the Lord, amen. He didn't just jump up, praise the Lord. We must learn that. You must hear from the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, wonderful prayer and so on, confidence and so on. What happened? I mean, there is all history, right? The fire came down, see, as he prayed. The fire fell, consumed the sacrifice, even the wood and the stone, and even leak all the 12 barrels of water, amen? Praise the Lord. God, who does exceeding and abundantly above all we can think or ask, amen? Praise the Lord. Not only consume the sacrifice, he will leak the water and the wood and so on. He will do more than you can ever think or ask, amen? So let your expectation go high, amen? Don't limit yourself to your own understanding. Proverbs 3:5, praise the Lord. Just pray and expect great things. See, the Lord will do great things, amen? And he always does. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's quickly run this one so we can get to the prayer part of this thing. So what happened here? So that was enough. The effect upon the people was overwhelming. They fell upon their faces and acknowledged, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Praise God. So we see that one. However, when the miracle took place, the people fell on their faces and they were acknowledging the Lord. You see? The ministry of the supernatural, praise God. You know what happens? When you have taught the law, it becomes like effortless, amen?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
You know, I remember in the early days of the ministry and so forth, how we make some mistakes and so on and that, you know, much in the ministry of casting out of devils, right? So when we did this thing, it was just three, four, but we were spending hours to cast one devil out. That was wrong, amen? We spent all night. Then we go and break if I'm brethren. We couldn't carry this one out, brother, so and so. Come over here, you know. That wasn't right.
Yeah.
But the Lord honor our little faith. I mean, what we know, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
So it ought to be so, you know. And in Matthew 17, we are told that even though we are doing all those things too, you know, praise God. See, all the revelation is very important, you know. Revelation. Yeah, continue to do this thing, but I have to come by revelation.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So anyway, so as we move on in this life revival, we're not going to make the same mistake again. Praise God. Yeah, he has given us so much wisdom together with the word of God and the gifts of the Spirit. But he honored our faith, did wonderful things, amen, and he did great things today too. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, we are coming to maturity. We are coming to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Jesus Christ. We are growing up unto him in all things. That's our target, amen? Praise the Lord. If you are going anywhere, look at him. Look at the Lord Jesus. See, we are the very work he did, we will be doing it as age closes, amen? And it's not far off. It's high here. When we are ready, God is ready, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you see, you know, he's been ready 2,000 years ago, amen? Praise the Lord. He's waiting for my complete obedience. When your obedience is fulfilled, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. So when my obedience is fulfilled, this thing will be again. So to God be the glory. So now, so let's finish up here. So it is the miracles that convince the people and nothing else, amen? Miracles are the secret of a revival that will reach the masses for God, amen?
Amen.
And there was one man of God who has been going to glory for a long time. So when the ministry of healing came in 47, after that, you know, then he was even working for another one of the great prophets that came and so on. He was even running the crusades and things like that, you know. Then I think God now said, look, you see, this gift of healing, let's go try it in foreign land. Then they went to Mexico, amen. Praise the Lord. He said, that's right. I'm talking real story.
Wow.
So then they said, this new ministry we have got, let's go test that in Mexico. So they went there. And truly enough, the sick were healed. In that meeting, the dead was even raised. In the meeting, just brought one dead boy and some of that. That means in Mexico there and some of that, you know. And look at the story, the boy was raised from the dead. I come and see, so it was proven. Praise God. See, they hear the thing, and now as we go on in this ministration of ministering to the people and so on, witnessing, let us have this in our heart, amen?
Amen.
The gospel has not changed. There's only one gospel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And as we have this in mind and wait from the Lord himself, I mean, to reveal to us, we have the same result, amen?
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. So let's finish up in a prayer session right now. So we see the birth of the church was a miracle, right? See, you know, the gospel is, you know, miracles consistently accompany the early church. So even as the day of Pentecost came and gone, the beautiful gate, we saw the miracle that began the opening of the beautiful gate, right? In Acts chapter 3. Now, let me show you something in Acts 4:29. So they know that there's not much they can do without the needs of the supernatural, right? See their prayer in Acts 4:29. They have to be consistent, right? So, and here's what they say. During the persecution, you are persecuted. Don't preach in this name. I always like what it says. At the end of the day, they will come together to their own, right? Mm-hmm. They will rehearse what they have experienced, the persecution and so on. Look at their prayer in Acts 4:29 to tell you that they rely upon the supernatural. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Look at the next verse. By setting forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. They know about Acts, they know about Mark 16, right? These signs are whether I believe. Yes, we have them around us, but it should be more ubiquitous, amen. Mm-hmm. And it will, amen. Praise the Lord. We hear the testimony of healing from you, and it's happening. But it will be so much ubiquitous as in the early church, amen.
Amen.
That's our honest expectation. Mm-hmm. That was according to our honest expectation and hope, amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. The fullness of the gospel is being preached as we await the coming of the Lord. Amen. So now, let's end up and I will read some scriptures here. We will pray tonight around these scriptures about revival. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Just scriptures, right? And then we just pray around it, you know. And, you know, that the Lord, you know, we just help us to quicken our pace. Now, God is willing to revive the humble. So that is number one thing. We need more humility. Amen. I need more humility. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Here is the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I will read the scripture. I will just pray on each of them. You pray for yourself. I pray for myself. We pray for the church. Amen.
Amen.
On each of these things. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See, that's one like Elijah, right? See? And turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Praise the Lord. The key word is humility and so on. Well, we thank God for what He's doing in every prayer meeting, you know, every in the nation and the nations and here and everywhere. But we want to continue to be steadfast in it, you know, as we continue in all these things by the grace of God. Now, to talk about humility, let me just read one more scripture, then we pray on that. In Isaiah 57. Verse 15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit. If my people come in my name, will humble themselves, right? See? Now here is the Most High God that inhabits eternity. There he says, I also dwell with he that is of contrite heart and his humble spirit. Now watch, to revive the spirit of the humble. Amen.
Amen.
Revive the spirit of the humble. Yes, right. Want to revive her? It begins with individuals. Amen.
Mm.
Then it catches fire. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Then we all go and pass spiritual fire everywhere. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It begins with you. It begins with me. So, so to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Let us stop right here. Pray for yourself. I pray for myself. That's humility. The God's type of humility. Not a beggarly kind of a confession. Amen. Praise the Lord. So for God's own type of humility. Let's just pray. Pray for yourself. Then pray for the church. Just take a few minutes to do. We pray around the scriptures tonight. There are a couple of them here tonight. Just pray around them. You see, you know, all these things, you know, tonight by the grace of God. I do, you do. Pray for yourself. Humility in the way that God say to be humble, not man's way of humility, not false humility, but God's type of humility, where you are filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you see, you know, humility, you know, and so on and that, you know. So pray for yourself, I pray for myself, and then pray for the church. Father, we thank you. Blessed be the name, O Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you call humility tonight, Lord, I In the name of the Lord Jesus.